Welcome to season two of Stand Up and Stand Out, the show for those leaving university and heading into the workforce, or for those already working but disillusioned by their current job. I'm your host, Nikki Green, and we're here to help those in transition find a life with purpose so they can pursue their passion. Following nearly two decades working in Fortune 500 companies, I want to share my leadership learnings with all of you. Thought leaders are needed in all walks of life, not just business. And we're in a critical time to pivot ourselves and the community around us to build a better future together. There's no syllabus for this part of the journey. It's time for you to choose your own adventure. Let us help you map the path that aligns with your values and supports your goals and dreams. Work doesn't have to be a bad four-letter word. By bringing your unique strengths to the table, the impossible can become possible. My stretch goal for the season will be to practice my Spanish, appreciate your support so I can achieve my goals, and keep pushing myself to be comfortable with the uncomfortable. Let's get ready for the next episode.
Well, welcome to our final episode of Stand Up and Stand Out Season 2. Welcome to Episode 20, Episodio 20. Can you believe it, folks? We made it. It's been a crazy year of, wow, getting two seasons under our belt when I didn't even plan to do a podcast when I started this year. So many wonderful things have happened. I hope you guys have had a great year too. You can see I'm all decked out in my sparkly Christmas stuff if you're checking out the video on Spotify or on YouTube. It's an exciting time. I love Christmas. And maybe you're not watching this at Christmas. Maybe you're watching it later in the year. But I think it's also a time to just take a pause and take some self-care for all of ourselves. You know, you never know what you've gotten into. It's probably been hectic. If you're just finishing a semester, whether that's Christmas time or in the spring, you're probably a little stressed. You probably need to decompress a bit. And this topic's a little stressful. We're going to talk about interviewing today. And before you get too excited about it all, we want to give you some good preparation strategies and just think through like what happens on the other side of the table when you're going through an interview. I have two great guests joining us today from our conference over the summer. I Graduated Now What, Darwin Lee and Amy Fuentes. Both have some incredible experience to share with you, and I'll share some of my own, both from interviewing and interviewee. And that's usually the best way to learn, right? Is to jump just right into it. Right now, everyone's competing for a lot of jobs out there. So you're probably wondering, how do you stand out from the crowd? And to be honest, it's not that complicated. When you hear folks talk about this, they'll tell you, you really just need to do the basics. Know what you're getting yourself into. I'm a social, bubbly, extrovert kind of person, but I still get nervous in interviews, especially when I really want the job, which is usually why people can tell whether you want the job or not. If you walk in without a plan, you're bound to fail. I was fortunate that my aunt was a theater performer and eventually made her way to Broadway. I was talking to her in my 20s and I was telling her how nervous I was during interviews. Since an audition for a show is basically an interview, I asked her about her techniques for being prepared, taking feedback, and how do you keep going and getting up for audition after audition? Theater's a tough world, and the thought of always having to interview and look for work seemed terrifying to me. She shared a lot of great advice with me that day, and it's continued to help me throughout my career. But let's bring on an expert in the topic of interviewing. Here's Darwin Lee with some great advice to get you started on your interviewing journey.
Once again, my name is Darwin, and I am called a program manager. I've been in leadership for many years. I'm in a senior leadership position. I have a couple websites. DarwinLee.com is my speaking website, and evolutionofleaders.com is where I have my podcast information. I interview high-level performers in their fields of excellence for lessons in what makes them excellent. And in my role, in my work, I have conducted hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of interviews, from co-ops and interns all the way to executive leadership. But before we start, I want to do a drill with you. Now, get out of your comfort zone a little bit. Trust me on this. Do this. There's a point to this. And I can't see you, but you're going to do it with me. I can feel it. All right. So first, we're going to break connection with each other. Okay. So when we break connection, we show the outside of our hands, our fists. Okay. So put your fists up and frown. And naturally, when you do that, your eyes come together like you're unhappy. This is classic body language stuff. Okay. So just relax, shake it out, loosen it up. Okay. So now this is what we're going to do. We're going to create connection. So you're going to raise your eyebrows and show your palms, the inside of your palms that shows honesty and trust, shows that you're a friend, and smile. There you go. And there are those pearly whites. These are lessons from interviewing hundreds of mostly unprepared applicants. Now, I've seen all kinds in my career, and I've learned a lot of things, not just from reading books, and I've done that, but by sheer, and I won't lie, mostly painful experiences, and want to save you the pain. And I want to save me the pain. These are three lessons I'll talk about that interviewees could do better. And if you learned these three lessons, I'm confident you'll do better in your interviews. And yes, these are the things that the best candidates do to shine too. Lesson number one, be the best version of yourself. Be likable. A fascinating statistic came out of Fast Company. You barely have 7 seconds to leave a great first impression on your recruiter. 7 seconds. How do you do that? Well, you show confidence and you're friendly, right? Your eyebrows are up. Your palms are out. Friendly. You can trust me. I'm honest. I'm your friend. And a firm handshake. Be the best version of yourself. Now, if you take a moment and you think about the most effective, the most influential leader in your life, the most effective, most influential person in your life, just take a moment and think about who that might be. I bet you they're really positive and they have a good attitude. Emulate that. Act that out. Show that on your first date and be your best version of yourself. And lesson number two, prepare. Preparation is the key. First off, review your resume. You got to know it cold. So what experience do you have and what volunteer experience? Remind yourself of the things that you want to highlight, the things that you want to convey to me and the interviewer that you're going to have. And remember your branding. Remember that? Are you positive? Are you creative or problem solver? And what are your strengths? And what projects can you highlight? And what courses do you have that can help me in the skills? And what are the successes that you've had? Really sell yourself. And how can you help us? And you want to know the company. Is it a technical role? Is it customer facing? You want to think about those things beforehand. A fellow interviewer once told me once that one candidate knew more about the organization than my friend did. And so my friend didn't hire him for the job, but they took his application, they shopped his resume around to different managers until they landed a role for him. They created a role for him because there was no way they were going to let this hero go. And you want to prepare your answers. Now, if you Google interview questions, they're easy to find. And so here, there are some common ones that you want to get ready for, but here are some, like, tell me about yourself. And what are your greatest strengths and what are your greatest weaknesses? You should have answers prepared for these, scripted and rehearsed, and be ready. Just be ready. And you want to do some mock interviews and find someone who's honest, who will tell you, hey, your tone is a little flat, or you frown when you think, or it looks like you're angry there, or you're not smiling. And so you want that feedback before you get into the interview, and film yourself. And so I have an exercise for you. And a task, and it will help you get better. Talk to 10 strangers a day. Talk to 10 strangers and go over your interview answers. It'll be fun. It'll be nerve-wracking. You'll feel goofy. But many strangers, I assure you, they will help you. Generally, people want you to succeed. And it'll help you get over those little jitters that you'll get on interview day. Third lesson. Look at things from the interviewer's perspective. So as an interviewer, this is what I'm wondering. How can you help my team? How can you help me? And how can you help my organization? And you want to show your value is to reflect what we're looking for in the best candidate, the ideal candidate. And maybe many people focus on themselves and selling themselves, and that's good. Sell yourself, totally sell yourself, be your best version. But also think about why you're good for me, why am I hiring you? And why am I paying you a salary and giving you benefits? Remember, I'm going through 118 applications and I'm bringing in maybe 10 to 15 interviewees and I'm scoring. It's like a competition. So get those points and get those extras.
Thanks, Darwin. Those were some great lessons to get us started. Be friendly. That's the first thing that people are going to see, not just in your interview, but every morning when you work with them. And they want to know that they're going to be able to get along with you. And unfortunately, in this remote environment, you may be interviewing over Zoom or some other video platform. Make sure you have a backup, like your own cell phone with that same app downloaded all ready to go, or at least a cell phone number so you could continue the call by just doing the audio version if you need to. And guys, use a laptop. Don't use your phone for interviewing. It's really not professional and you're going to be about this big. So you may have a really great camera on there, but unless you really have a great setup, it's probably not the best advice because you're probably not going to get great audio. All of us have terrible interview stories. Unfortunately, it's just sort of a rocky path because some people are not good at interviewing either. So be prepared. I had this horrible story again, kind of early in my 20s. I was interviewing for a pretty major company. They were expanding in Canada and they wanted people here in the US who could speak French to help with that expansion project. And I went in to see the manager. I had already been through a couple of sort of previous interviews. He was completely rude. He was purposefully intimidating. And he also looked at me like a piece of meat. It was gross. And I knew in just a few minutes into that interview, I was never going to be able to work for him. But I had no exit strategy. I had never thought that something like that would happen. And I was so incredibly uncomfortable with his entire behavior, but at the same time, still trying to make a good impression to land the interview. If I look back now, I should have entered that interview right away, but it didn't occur to me at the age of 22, desperate for a job, which seemed like a great opportunity, that I also had rights in that process. So please make sure to think about those things. And if something that unfortunate does happen to you, make sure you go back to that HR recruiter, whoever you talked to originally, and make sure that they're aware of the situation because it is happening and it shouldn't be. Managers should be professional and they should be asking you questions related to what's going on at work. So how else can you best prepare for an interview? First of all, let us tell you, you can cheat. This isn't a test. This isn't school. It's okay to bring notes, to use tools. This is the real world. When you go to work, I don't expect that you're going to come in day one and know absolutely everything that's going to be going on. I expect that there's going to be a learning curve. So think about that. Think about this differently than if you're just going into class for the first time on the first day. So to talk about this a little bit, I'm going to bring in Amy Fuentes, and she's going to tell you an equally terrible interview story, but from the interviewer's perspective.
Thanks so much, Nikki, for having me. I don't know if you know this, but did you know that the unemployment rate for 20 to 24-year-olds is almost double that of the national average, according to the U.S. Bureau of Statistics? That's an awful statistic. And also, a lot of college grads are finding that it's taking upwards of 6 months to find that job. Now, I don't want you to be one of those people. So I am so excited to share with you some creative, outside-the-box ideas on how you can achieve your dream job quickly and easily. The only thing you're going to need is to have what? Have an open mind. Something that you might not know is that I've been around the block a time or two, and I've been on both sides of the interview table. I've been interviewed a ton, you guys, but I've also interviewed a ton of people. And years ago, I was in the mortgage business, and it was getting really busy, and I really needed some help. So I wanted to hire an assistant, and I put out a post asking for somebody, you know, that would be my assistant. And I got a lot of resumes, tons of resumes. And this one individual looked really good, looked like it was going to be a perfect match. The only problem was she looked a bit overqualified. You see, she had just graduated with an MBA. And I thought, why would somebody with an MBA want to be my assistant? Well, maybe she wanted to learn the ropes from the ground up. So I gave her the opportunity to come in and chat, which she took. But unfortunately, she didn't have these tools, you guys. When she came in, she looked great. She was in a suit, looking sharp. She shook my hand. She showed up a few moments early. She looked me in the eye. Everything was going great. We had a really good conversation going until we didn't. You see, I asked her a really simple question that she didn't have the answer to. And the longer we waited, that pregnant pause only caused the stress and the anxiety to rise in her. Now, what was the question? The question was, what is 255 divided by 17? And she didn't, she waited, she looked, and she trying to do it in her head. And never once did I say to her she couldn't use a piece of paper and a pen or a calculator or her phone. But she had it in her own head that she had to do it in her head. And when she wasn't able to come up with the correct answer, and I was like, not the correct answer, she totally and completely blew up. She threw her hands up and she said, what's with this question? What does this have to do with being your assistant? Really? A numbers question for a mortgage company? But more importantly, I was looking at how she was going to react to something she didn't know. Because when you're new in a position, there's many things you don't know. And I wanted to see what her reaction would be. Needless to say, it wasn't the best. So having these tools in your tool belt or your back pocket will really come in handy as you go through your interview process, as well as just your job search in general. Don't be like this person. Be prepared. And if you can't be prepared, at least take a deep breath and be able to have that mental clarity and focus.
Thanks, Amy. That was great and a really great illustration, right? Sometimes you're going to get asked questions which are absolutely going to stump you, and you may not be prepared for them, but do you have a tool right in your hand that you can possibly look up the answer? It's a pretty amazing thing that right now your phone can do a lot. Now, most interviewers are not going to bat an eye. They are going to expect you and be looking to see, like Amy said, what are the tools that you use and how do you approach a situation? If you kind of question whether you should do it in the interview, it's okay. Just ask too. Say, hey, do you mind? That's a complex calculation. I'm just going to pull out my phone. Or, hadn't thought about that. Let me look it up real quick. The extra effort to actually try to still solve the problem and not just sit there and get frustrated is going to show a lot more to the interviewer than the fact that maybe you didn't know the answer to the question. That's okay. But the best thing is be prepared. And the most questions are going to be about yourself. So you need to be ready to talk about yourself, about lots of things. Be personable. One of the early mistakes I made was I didn't talk about myself at all. I was so focused on trying to answer the questions about my resume and my experience, I forgot to be interesting, which I've lived a pretty interesting life. I have a lot of good stories to tell. Otherwise, I wouldn't be writing so many books. And I just had this whole view that I needed to be strictly professional and that color coding things in other ways was going to be confusing or maybe deter people from hiring me, when in actuality would have done the opposite. Know why you're there too. Do you seem interested in the company? Do you seem interested in the team, the manager, the job itself? What are you applying for? What attracted you to this position? I know it's tough because you're going to get all these weird job descriptions and you're not going to know necessarily what they're about. So let's do a quick random exercise. I went on to one of the lovely job posting sites and I just pulled up a random job that's for an entry level. Let's see, this is an internship position at a company I used to work for. When you look at these things, you're going to see a couple of kind of buckets, like what's the key responsibilities and what are the basic requirements for education and experience. Because this is an internship, they don't expect you to be finished with school, but they do expect you to have, and this is a finance and accounting internship, an interest in finance and accounting. So if you're studying theater, this may not be a good crossover and you might have a tough sell of why you're supposed to get in there. Be willing to work in a fast-paced environment and partner with different teams. That's a great one. That's an easy one to talk about of how you went to school, how many classes you took. Maybe you were also juggling a job, or maybe you volunteered at a local, you know, community-based organization. There's a lot of things about yourself that you can meet these basic requirements. So make sure you look at the job description itself and literally write out answers to these things and answer them back. But what about responsibilities for the job itself? Assist in annual budgeting and monthly forecasting process. Well, assist is great because it means you're probably not going to own this process all by yourself. That's pretty common. If it's an internship, you'll probably have a mentor to guide you. Budgeting and forecasting. What at your age would you have had management responsibilities of? Well, probably your own paycheck, right? Maybe you had a summer job. Maybe you had bills because you have a car, you have car insurance. There's lots of things that you would have budgeted and forecasted even just within your own world. But maybe you belong to a sorority or fraternity, and maybe you had the ability to actually balance their budget too. There's lots of other ways where you could have had these skills, maybe not in a big corporation, but the skill translates of understanding what the concept is and how to go about doing those activities. And again, especially at these entry-level jobs, you're probably going to have some supervision. So you're probably assisting, analyzing something very specific. And so make sure that you can accomplish that physical task and then know where you need help and what you're interested in learning more about. So lots more on what's possible in different resumes, as we just did. Read the job description. If you don't know what those things mean, Google them. Again, ask a friend, ask your professor. There's a lot of ways that you can understand better what those are before you get into the job themselves. And then start practicing those common questions. How would you approach solving this type of problem? Tell me a time when this type of thing happened to you. They're going to probably purposely push your buttons, just like in Amy's example with the calculator, because work is stressful. You're going to get thrown all sorts of things, and you may not have the exact answer for that, but they want to make sure you have the tools in your tool belt to be able to problem solve and find a way to the answer. And like I said, it's not a test. You can cheat. You can ask a friend. You know, we have all of those lifelines open to us to make sure that you're getting to the solution. Work is about the solution, not about who's the smartest, right? Important. And when you're in an interview, some of your personality comes out best when you're storytelling, and it helps you kind of give a better illustration about what happened, why it happened, what you were doing, how you played a part, and your emotional state. Because again, it's how well can you regulate like stressful times and things that maybe you weren't expecting. So prepare for those types of things too. If you're practicing with your friend, I'm sure they can think of some controversial things to try to poke and push your buttons with. But make sure you're telling an appropriate story for someone you're going to work for. And this isn't a, oh man, I was so drunk at this party this one time. Those are not the stories for your interviews. Okay. And it's okay not to be perfect. They're not looking for perfection. Again, they're expecting that you are learning from these experiences. So it's okay to show a few flaws, show that maybe you didn't get it right that first time. And then how did you learn from it the next time? The next time a similar situation came up, here's how I did it differently because of that mistake. These are really, really important things. And an important one Darwin said is, did I answer your question? Like, make sure you're interacting with the interviewer. It's not all a one-way street. You do have opportunity to ask them. Make sure you're checking in. It also gives you a second to take a pause from that sometimes rapid fire that's coming at you from an interviewing process. The other important thing I want to say is have questions prepared. So when you're doing your prep, when you've gone through that resume, when maybe you've interviewed with an initial person, an HR person, a recruiter in the beginning, you probably already started coming up with questions. Maybe you saw them on their website. You saw a commercial about them. Who knows? But start to ask questions that don't just ask about the job, but are the things you care about for the job. And I'm not talking about the money. Okay, guys. I know we all care about how much we're going to make, but do not start with how much am I going to make? Are there benefits? What kind of extras do I get? Sometimes the hiring manager isn't even going to cover this stuff, right? That's probably going to be an HR person or somebody else on the other side. And the remote work thing, just wait on that question too. Either it's going to come up naturally as a state of wherever we're at with pandemic, endemic, endemic, wherever we're at with all of this, allowed to leave the house, have to go into the office. So if it doesn't come up naturally, just give it time. Don't force that conversation. And I would encourage you guys, for entry-level jobs, you need coaching. You need support from your manager, from your team. Working in the office at that stage, it has a ton of benefits. It is hard to work from home all the time. Now, once you get your feet under you to get some time back and to be able to have some flexibility, not be sitting in commute traffic, all those things are wonderful. But in order to get your career off on a good start, it's always best to have that face time, not just to be there in front of the boss, but to actually learn and absorb from the people around you and, heaven forbid, get to know them as people. That's why you picked that team. That's why you picked that job. It wasn't just for the paycheck. Ask some questions about the team. What's the team dynamic? How many people are in the team? How long have those people been in their current roles? Some of that will give you a sense of how well the team gets along or how they feel about the manager. If people have been moving around a lot and there's not a lot of continuity, that's not a good sign, okay? So you want to know that they like the manager and ask them questions as you're interviewing with other people within the team of how they interact with them and what's their favorite parts of sort of working within that dynamic.
Liquidless laundry detergent? As you know, plastic is a huge problem. Only 9% get recycled. Even if you put your jug in a bin, 25% gets declined from cross-contamination. If plastic does get recycled, it can only be reused twice. The facts don't lie. It's time to stop using plastic. Did you know that liquid detergent is up to 90% water? Earthfreeze created dehydrated detergent. Our EcoSheets easily dissolve in hot or cold water with the same powerful clean you're used to. Our packaging is biodegradable cardboard and ink. Eco-friendly options are usually expensive. EcoSheets are affordable. That way, everyone can make a difference. Laundry detergent is one of the most requested items at homeless shelters. With every package, we donate 10 loads of detergent. You get to choose who you donate to. We also donate a portion of our revenue to the planet. There is no reason not to switch. Subscribe and receive it exactly when you need it. No contracts, cancel anytime. We even offset all of our carbon emissions. This means your deliveries are carbon neutral. You can stay safe and order right from your home. EcoSheets are vegan and cruelty-free, dye-free, paraben-free, and a fragrance-free option, and sensitive to the most delicate skin. There are already thousands of five-star reviews, and we offer a satisfaction guarantee. If you have any issues, we will refund you. So why not give EcoSheets a try? Click below or visit earthbreeze.com.
I was really fortunate in my last job that I interviewed for. I had a really great experience, and I knew right away that I really wanted the job, but I actually honestly thought I totally blew the whole thing. It's always funny how you feel at the end of these things. But I was interviewing for a role which involved pricing. And, at this stage in my career, of course, I was highly, ready for this. I've been working in pricing for a long time. And I came with pages of notes, not just random notes, but literally every person I knew I was going to interview with that day. I had 5 interviews. I had looked them up on LinkedIn. I knew a little bit about them. I knew one guy did photography on the side. It doesn't have to be work things, right? You can learn other side things about them to have a conversation with them and make it feel more natural. But of course, the first and top question that everybody asked me was, what is our pricing model? Because I'm going into a role to know pricing. And so if I hadn't done at least that little bit of due diligence, it's going to look pretty bad when I walk into there and say, hey, I'd love a job running your pricing department. And pricing for this company is quite different from pricing at others. So even if I had similar experience, I did need to know at least what I was getting into and maybe even what competitive analysis might be out there with similar products and services. And I would even encourage you guys, I know it's so easy to just click, apply now to so many digital, ways of applying to jobs, but you should be doing some of this homework before you even apply. Before you get that interview, you should know what you're getting into. That'll help you customize your resume. It'll help you customize your cover letter. And if you watch my other recommendation, it'll help you make a video, which will actually introduce you before you even get your foot in the door. So there's lots of exciting ways that you guys can use technology now, and there's so much more information out there that you're not flying blind. So use these things to your advantage, prepare, And most of all, find a way to be calm and be your natural self. I hope you guys have enjoyed this episode. This was one of my favorites. I love working with Amy and Darwin. They're always a blast. It's crazy to think that we're done with episode 20 and season 2, but it's time to get ready for the holidays and start decorating the house. Keep an eye out for my TikTok videos, even if it's not Christmas anymore when you're watching this or listening to this episode. I'm sure it'll still be entertaining. So anyways, thank you guys so much for all your support this season. We have a lot of exciting stuff coming for season 3 and some fun new guests. We're already in recording for season 3, if you can believe that. If you guys have ideas or there's questions or things that are top of mind, don't hesitate to hop on our social channels, follow, like, comment, and we read everything. And we are definitely going to be crafting the next season to make sure it helps you guys achieve your goals. Thank you guys so much for joining Stand Up and Stand Out. I'm Nikki Green, your host, and I'll see you in 2022. Bye.
Well, another awesome show in the books. I hope you enjoyed listening as much as we enjoyed making it. For video outtakes of the show, don't forget to catch us on TikTok, you don't stop, at NikkiGreen678. The full-length shows are available on all the podcast platforms, now including Amazon Music, Stitcher, and Good Pods. The full video is available on Nikki's YouTube channel, and links to all of our social media, including info about our guests, is available in our show notes and on our website at www.greenchameleoncollective.com/podcast. Thanks for listening, and we will see you next week.